धाम्यं दीशनं प्रजापतये च
give instructions
concerning
law and order.
Sādhavaha,
endowed with all good qualities.
Samaha,
equal to everyone.
Yadi,
if
Syāti,
there is. Teshu,
among them.
Vaishamyam,
partiality.
What? Yanti.
Will go to
Charanam.
Shelter.
Rajaha.
The
citizens. A king or governmental official should be so well qualified that he acts as a father, maintainer and protector of the citizens, because of affection and love. He should give the citizens good advice and instructions according to the standard scriptures and should be equal to everyone. Yamaraj does this, for he is the supreme minister of justice, and so do those who follow in his footsteps. However, if such persons become polluted and exhibit partiality by punishing an innocent, blameless person, where will the citizens go to take shelter for their maintenance and security? Therefore, the king, or in modern times, the government should act as the guardian of the citizens by teaching them the proper goal of life. The human form of life is especially meant for realization of oneself and one's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because this cannot be realized in animal life. The duty of the government, therefore, is to take charge of training all the citizens in such a way that by a gradual process they will be elevated to the spiritual platform and will realize the self and his relationship with God. This principle was followed by kings like Maharaj Yudhisthira, Maharaj Parikshit, Lord Ramchandra, Maharaj Ambarish, and Pralhad Maharaj. The leaders of the government must be very honest. And religious, because otherwise all the affairs of the state will suffer. Unfortunately, in the name of democracy, rogues and thieves are electing other rogues and thieves to the most important posts in the government. Recently, this has been proven in America, where the president had to be condemned and dragged down from his post by the citizens. This is only one case, but there are many others. Because of the importance of the Krishna consciousness movement, people should be Krishna conscious and should not vote for anyone who is not Krishna conscious. Then there will be actual peace and prosperity in the state. When a Vaishnava sees mismanagement in the government, he feels great compassion in his heart and tries his best to purify the situation by spreading the Hare Krishna movement.
Om Bhagyanatininandasya Dhyanasana Kaya Chakshurum Nilitam
Jena tasmai shri gurve namaha shri chaitanya manovishtam tam tena bhutale svayam rupa kadahayam dharati sarvajantikam mukam karoti vachanam amum nanghaya tinkarim yat kripa tamam bande shri guru dinatayam. The king or the administrators here is described here, Pitara, protectors, guardians, kings or government servants and protectors. Of who? Prajanam, the citizens. So Prabhupada says, right at the beginning of the third book, the king, or in modern times the government, should act as the guardian of the citizens. Pitara, sometimes used as father, Pitara. So here that means protector. So just like a father protects his family, this is the idea. The citizens are considered to be one's family. Even Prabhupada says the family extends to the animals in it. Right? So human beings and the animals are to be protected or to be looked after. They're not a commodity, but rather they're a valued member of one's family. But interesting here, how should they be protected? Because, you know, there's the basics of protection. Looking after the basic needs. Ahara, nidra, bhaya, maitana, jara. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. We should look after the needs, these basic needs that we all have. In one sense, that's the lower self. Right? Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But they're required. Well, what happens if you don't eat?
Fall sick. Huh? Starve, fall sick.
Fall asleep.
Sick. Starve. Sick. Die of sick.
Sick. Become sick. Yeah, you get hungry first, I suppose. That's the first thing I've noticed. Don't eat, get hungry. And then after that, what happens? Get angry. Be disturbed. Yeah, and there are countries in the world where people are not being fed properly. The basics. And you know, sleeping. We all need to sleep. If you don't sleep, what happens? What happens when you don't sleep?
Go crazy.
Can't think straight. Can't discriminate. Can't work out what you should and what you shouldn't do. You know, often many problems. You go to bed with a big problem, have a sleep, and you wake up in the morning and have, guess what? Problem solved. Or you've forgotten it. It wasn't a problem. So, yeah, a good rest is required. And shelter, you know, in order to do these things, the citizens need shelter. It's like the family needs a house to live in. It is basic requirements for a civilized life. And some sense engagement, sense gratification. These are basic necessities, which and you know the fulfillment of which basically drives social engagement in a community, in a society. So these things have to be managed in an orderly fashion in order for people to feel or to be safe and productive, properly engaged. You know, in our society pretty much, we're fortunate because most of these things are provided for us, right? If we're living in Australia, then we have all of these facilities. We have more. We have roads. We have electricity. We have most amenities. We have in abundance, provided for us. We get upset if there's no entertainment. This is our problem. Is we can't have the Australian Open, or you know we've got to go to the cricket and wear a mask, or. You know, these are our big problems. But when you think about it, we're provided for. A lot of that, you know, my experience over the last few, over my lifetime, is that, in Australia, for example, if you have an illness, you just go to hospital. You show them a green card, and then they just look after you, right? You don't even have to sign anything. And I've had operations and examinations, and be looked after. I said, when in that environment, the citizens feel protected. Of course, we have to pay taxes, but that's fair enough. If you go to hospital in other countries, what happens if you haven't got money? What happens?
Can't eat?
Well, yes, no money, don't eat.
No house,
yep. But when you go to hospital, what happens? They don't treat you. Can't pay, no treatment. So, Prabhupada's making the point here that the administrators of the state are meant to provide this protection to the citizens in the mood of caring for their family. Right? They are. This is the family member. And Prabhupada gives an example. Maharaj Yudhisthira, Maharaj Bhrigid, Lord Ramchandra, or even Maharaj Ambarish, Pallad Maharaj. So this is a central duty of a leader, is to protect his followers, or the government should protect the citizens. This is be equipoised to what's the word? They should have equanimity, towards all the citizens of the state. Of course, it doesn't always happen like that. But this is the principle, and even extended to the animals. And the Prabhupada said we shouldn't be killing the animals. We should be looking after them and engaging them in productive service. So even the animals are seen by a saintly administration or an enlightened administration sees even the animals as being part of the family and they're protected. Of course, you know, you don't bring the animals into your house. They have their own house, but they're also looked after. So that's the basic. That's the basic. And that's assumed here. It's not even mentioned. Right? That's the basic. But what's mentioned here is that acting as the guardian, so providing for the material facility is not even mentioned here. That's just taken for granted. Right? Just take it for granted. And Prabhupada says the government should act as the guardian of the citizens by teaching them the proper goal of life. Right? So that goes over and above looking after the basic necessities, because it's not possible to bring people to this platform understanding the purpose of life if they don't have their material facilities taken care of. Right? You don't take, there's no question of bringing people to the spiritual platform until they first of all come to the human platform. And if they can't satisfy their basic needs, then really they stay at the level of animal existence, because they're just worried about eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Which is unfortunately what most people do in any case. Right? In a country, even in a country like Australia, where we have most of those things taken care of course, there's some effort required, right? As you probably all did. But relatively speaking, it's the norm to at least cover the basic necessities. Anybody here not getting enough to eat? Most of my half of my friends have all put on 5 kilograms or more in the last 2 years.
Now that we are eating excess.
You're eating in excess.
Yes, sir. Prasadam every day.
Stop.
Only doctor said no.
Yeah. So you're okay. I think your cheeks are getting a little. I see you behind your mask. Your cheeks are getting quite full. Yeah. So okay, you have to work. Work from home. Okay. But. We're all getting our material necessities taken care of. We have a good place to sleep. We're getting well fed. We're living in Albert Park or nearby, right? How many of you are living in Albert Park or nearby? City of Port Phillip. Yeah, quite a few people. Okay, so you're doing okay. If you tell people that you're living in Albert Park, they think you're quite wealthy, right?
We will go beyond this, yes.
Huh?
Temple is very near, so as long as the temple is very near, we are very much comfortable.
I know, yes. So is everybody else around here. Not just the lady. So, you know, and this is for the majority of people in our country, but even though the material requirements are met, there's very little concern for the real purpose of life in the government, even the citizens. There's no. And so Prabhupada says here, and explains it here, the human form of life is especially meant for realization of oneself and one's relationship with the Supreme. But that's lacking. This is lacking in society. I know I would, when I was a young person, I would ask questions about these topics, and nobody could, even the religious community couldn't ask my questions. Well, probably the same for many of us. Couldn't answer the questions that I had. So, you know, part of my mission was to find somebody who could answer, you know, what is my purpose? Prabhupada says everybody should have a mission in life. And here it is, it's explained. But you know, Prabhupada makes the point that unfortunately, rogues and thieves are electing other rogues and thieves into the positions of responsibility. And whilst they're caring, you know, in many respects, caring for the needs of the citizens at the same time, they're not aware of, neither do they care for this primary purpose. No, they don't. And so they, you know, that's a failing of the pitara, or the pita, right? That's a failing. And Prabhupada gives an example. Here's what the real leaders, here's who the real leaders are. People that most everybody has heard of, but Maharaj Yudhisthira, Maharaj Parikshit, Lord Ramchandra, Maharaj Ambarish, and Prahlad Maharaj. These are the real leaders. Because not only do they take care of the material facility, but they look after the pressing need, or the most important need, and that is to identify the real cause or the prime mover, if you like. The real identity of the individual is as a jiva, as a spirit being, not just a material being. The material is inferior in many ways. That better describe basically the Bhagavad Gita. Why the Bhagavad Gita is so important. Why we distribute so much transcendental literature. Because, as Prabhupada says, really the leaders of society are not consummate leaders in the sense that they're lacking. They are lacking a spiritual understanding. And so, you know, we see in Australia, anyway, probably the same in many countries, where there's a democracy, the incumbent usually isn't defeated in an election because the opposition is any better, right? It's because the mistakes and, you know, the ill motivations of the ruling party, usually the citizens become disgusted, so they change them. We've had enough of these guys, right? And, you know, what's the alternative? Well, not much better, but we'll put them anyway because that's the only choice we've got, right? And then after a few years, they're in and they promise them, you know, we'll solve all of your problems and there'll be no issues in life and we'll lower the taxes and blah, 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 blah. So many promises, right? But then they break all of their promises and they get turfed out and then in comes another lot. The next lot of the previous lot who aren't much different, right? So it's not because of their improved character, really. It's because the incumbents have just disgraced themselves so thoroughly that everybody's sick of them and they get rid of them. So Prabhupada's point here, wrote, and he refers to an example. Prabhupada doesn't often do that. But Recently, this has been proven in America, where the president had to be condemned and dragged down from his post by the citizens. Who's that a reference to? Anybody know? It's a bit of a test of modern history. Anybody know who's that referring to? In Prabhupada's time, obviously, Prabhupada was president. Who's he referring? Which president? Which American president?
Nixon,
yes, President Nixon. He was caught out spying on the Democrats, the Democratic. Yeah. Disgrace, yeah. They recently tried to do it to Trump, but didn't. They didn't have the numbers in the various houses of Senate, I think it was, Senate or the lower house, can't remember which. So the leader was embarrassed because of his being a rogue and a cheat. He just had to get caught. Yeah. So what does one do? What was one do? Because this is most important. This is the certainly providing for the citizens. If the government can't do that, and given that there's enough facility in the world, they're condemned. But if they're doing that, they're still condemned according to the Vedic, you know, according to the Vedic perspective, because if the essential is not being taught, you know, what's of the essence? The essence is the spiritual identity of everybody. That's the essence. Without the spiritual identity, without the spirit soul, what have we got? We've got a dead body. Useless. Right? So what drives us is our spiritual identity, not our material identity. And you know, when you just have a material identity and people just behaving like animals, then it's problematic, because it's just a competition. Animal life is just basically a hamamedi, I am mine, and a competition for sense gratification. And if you've got more than me, then I become envious of you and want to compete, want to pull you down. You know, it becomes a very, you know, what do they call it? A dog-eat-dog society. Well, of course, we want to avoid that. We want to avoid a swan-eat-swan society also. So what does one do? It's very interesting what Prabhupada says, because that can be very discouraging. You know, if you look at politics and you look at the endless, you know, just politics, it can become very discouraging for a devotee especially. So what does Prabhupada say here? The Krishna consciousness or awareness of one's spiritual identity and one's relationship with God, you know, and the activities that one should perform to elevate oneself, these are the basic teachings, right? Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. The nature of relationships, how everything is situated within the creation. This is all contained in the Bhagavatam, all contained in the Bhagavad Gita. How everything fits together is very clearly explained. But so important to give people peace of mind so they know, well, who am I? What am I doing? But basic stuff, right? It's all given in the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam. Why are the devotees so peaceful? Why are the devotees so peaceful? Because they understand who they are and what their place, how they're situated in the whole scheme of things. They're not positive, they're not always plagued by material, you know, by mental anxieties. Which is one of the symptoms of, you know, not knowing who you are and what you're supposed to be doing, is anxiety and stress and tension. And why the dwellings are generally very peaceful? Because they understand these very basic, simple facts. You know, when people come to the temple, I've heard this recently many times. I mentioned this the other day. We're doing a lot of weddings, and we've got people come to the temple who've never been to the temple before. What do they comment? What do they comment about the temple? They say, "Oh, this place is so peaceful." Right? That's what they say. We forget it. We look at the roster and we say, "Oh, what am I supposed to be doing? What's next?" But that's okay. That's actually not it. That's Krishna anxiety. And that's desirable. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if you can find somebody selling Krishna anxiety in the marketplace, buy it off them at any price. So folks, don't mind. We're happy to take on the anxiety of running, of organizing service to Krishna. It's our pleasure to do that. And so when people come to the temple, because the focus is Krishna and pleasing Krishna and serving the devotees, then it's, for those who don't know these things, they find it a place of shelter, just like we do. It's a place of shelter. So, what do we do if there's nobody, if the pitara or the pitta or the chatriya effectively is not protecting the citizens, or they might be providing a due facility, but they're not providing spiritual education, which is what really is their ultimate duty. Prabhupada gives us, he says, when a Vaishnava sees mismanagement in the government, he feels great compassion in his heart. This is the nature of a Vaishnava, or Vaishnavi, is to be compassionate to others. And tries his best to purify the situation by spreading the Hare Krishna movement. Well, this is why we do Harinam, why we do book distribution, why we distribute prasadam, and why we give association, why we teach. We're teachers, actually. A Brahminical culture. And the Brahminical culture values spiritual knowledge above everything else. This is the important element of our culture. The culture of Krishna consciousness is to cultivate a proper understanding of who we are, you know, what our relationship is with Krishna, how we should then act in that relationship, and then what's the ultimate goal? These are the essential elements of education, of real education. Of course, you know, there needs to be education on material affairs, no. Mechanics and chemistry and physics and the like, mathematics. That's required because, you know, we need to, the whole show needs to run. So that needs to be there, but that kind of education is empty or shallow or almost meaningless if it's not connected to some spiritual purpose, because that's really who we are. We're not this body, the body's always changing, and we feel, you know, we all feel the same, we're all the same person, but the body's changing because we're not the body. We're the upadrashta and the anamanta within the body. Because Krishna is the upadrashta and the anamanta of all bodies, the overseer and the pamita, if you like, right? But we're aware of what's going on within our. So to know that, to know one's spiritual identity, essential to have a fulfilling and meaningful life. Otherwise, it's all just running around like what my father used to say. That's not a very good example, perhaps I won't mention. Hare Krishna. Was an example. But having no sense of identity, proper sense of identity. Not a change, you know, you could be an Australian one day and then an Indian the next, or an Indian and then you become an Australian. You know, it's not who we are, the body's not who we are. It's the spiritual identity that defines us and our understanding of that. And Brahminical culture values that above material acquisition. Knowledge and renunciation and action based on knowledge and renunciation. That's what spiritual or Brahminical culture values. Right? So that's what should be taught. But it's not. So what does the devotee do? Out of compassion for others, they set the example and teach by example. And for us, you know, it's our mission, if you like, Sankirtan. In the form of chanting Hare Krishna, in the form of distributing transcendental knowledge and prasadam distribution. Because we should actually, you know, society doesn't value the animals. They kill them and eat them. This is not a good society, actually. It's heartless, merciless. So in the beginning, everybody has to teach by example. And also, you know, acha and pracha. We need to teach by example and then preach effectively. But put that into practice. And demonstrate an ideal community. Really. You know, this is what Prabhupada wanted in Islam. A community of transcendentalists who worked cooperatively together and in that way set the example of how human life is meant to be utilized, how it's meant to be taken advantage of. And so that's a form of compassion, just working together cooperatively and with respect and mutual understanding of our common goals, our common purpose, and our execute, you know, the following actually of our Founder, following Prabhupada. This is how we work together to demonstrate, to show the advantages and the benefits of a Brahminical culture as opposed to just a, you know, Rose of Thieves society. It's better. We know it's all, but we know it's better. Right? We feel it. We feel the benefits when we come together to do these things. And we feel happy and satisfied. When we're not fulfilling Prabhupada's instructions, then we feel unhappy. And not following Krishna's instructions and Lord Chaitanya's instructions. We feel incomplete. But when we're performing those activities, just like, you know, we've just had our Christmas marathon, and the devotees distributed a lot of books. So we feel happy. We're going to celebrate our book distribution marathon at the farm with a glorification of the Sankirtan devotees, give them some prizes, chant Hari Hari Bol, and then have a nice feast. So, and then what happens after we do that? How do you feel?
How do you feel?
Huh?
Very satisfied.
Very happy. Yeah, we all feel happy. Huh? When we distribute lots of prasadam, how do we feel, Sudhir? How hard work is it? Huh?
You feel rewarded.
Yeah, you feel happy. Right? Despite the fact it's very hard work. Huh? All of this is hard work, there's no doubt about it. But what happens at the end? You're in ecstasy. You know, when you look back on your life and you look at all of the sacrifices, you think, boy, that was fun. You forget about the struggle and the effort and everything. You think, oh, that was a lot of fun. So then you talk about the good old days. But it was hard work. Huh? About hard work? That's far hard work, right? But we don't mind. We're happy. And people see that, they sense it. They go to the temple and say, whoa, what a peaceful place. So that's, you know, that's a cultural conquest. You don't even have to preach to people, right? You don't have to say anything. You just act. This is what I mean. And show compassion for others. So very interesting. You know, sometimes we think we've got to defeat everybody with philosophy. And of course, we should be philosophically astute and articulate. That's our culture. We should be. But defeating or, you know, dismantling the material mentality, that material construct that is in society, isn't necessarily, partially can be defeated with good philosophy, that's for sure. And if somebody's inquisitive, then we give them transcendental knowledge. Yes, we do. But, you know, for a lot of people, we just give them something to eat. Just defeat them with a cauliflower pakora. Right? Can't defeat them philosophically, but we give them cauliflower pakora with Korma's pineapple chutney. And they go, ooh, wow, that's good. Huh? And so, you know, it's an experience. It's an experience to be with a devotee and to experience that the calm and the mood of surrender, charan, right, that's in a devotee's heart, that has an effect. It's a symptom of bhakti, actually. And that symptom of bhakti vibrates out. You know, it's hard to put your finger on it because it's not material, it's purely transcendental. Right? But people notice it, they come to the temple and say, oh, this is a really peaceful place, I like this. Right? Or they met a devotee and they just like the devotee, they don't even know what it is they like about it. In fact, they don't like the philosophy. They don't like the philosophy, they argue with it, but they like the devotee because of his personality, his character, right? Really important. So it's a very subtle thing. It's not actually subtle. It's spiritual. No? That's why it's hard to grasp. But people notice it. No? When you go on Harinam, after the earlier COVID lockdowns, we went out on Harinam on a Friday night. And people were so happy to see the devotees. So happy. I don't know what it is. Did you go on Harinam last night? How were people?
Oh, they love it.
Yeah, they love it. Now, why is that? Because they love the devotees. Huh? They see the devotees and automatically what happens? They start smiling. Right? They can't help themselves. So, this is the compassion. You know, we're able to demonstrate peace and prosperity in many respects. Set the example. And that is observable. Even though not quantifiable materially, it's observable by people. And so that's how Prabhupada wanted us to change this environment. Very potent, very powerful. So even if we do it imperfectly, which we may do from time to time, we make mistakes. We're on the path of perfection. We may not be perfect, but at least we're on the path of perfection. We're making that effort. So, but still, it has an effect. And so, this is how we have an impact. And just have to keep working in that way. And in that way, then we set it and become a place of shelter, effectively. And a community of shelter for everyone. Does anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points? Should it?
No.
I have to speak to the audience.
So we are very fortunate that we are being looked after by the government as well as the temple.
Yeah.
And many people are not like that.
Yeah.
So to what extent though we should try to change our destiny or the circumstances outside? Or when should we give it up? That's Krishna's plan. Is there a formula for that?
Well, Prabhupada mentions Varnashram a lot. Right? So individually, we should know what our occupation is, you know, how we should work effectively, right? And know what our ashrama is, you know, and then work within the regulations, basic regulations of those constraints, right? And you know, some of us may be politicians, or some of us may, you know, we may, if you've got that propensity and that's your karma also, you know, because you may have a propensity but not have the karma. But if you've got the propensity and that adhika, that ability, then you can work according to that. And one of the reasons why Vana and Ashramas is important, because that steadies us, right? And it defines what our material activities should be, right? And then we can act, you know, within that framework, and also pursue our spiritual life, because Prabhupada does mention that Ashram is really useless or not important if there's no spiritual culture. Right? So, but it's supportive of spiritual culture, but not absolutely essential for spiritual culture, because you can also, if you're fully surrendered to Krishna, if you're very advanced, or spiritually advanced, then you can ignore your Varnashram and just serve Krishna, right? But generally what we do is we serve Krishna within the context of Varna and Ashram. That's how we apply it, right? So, you know, if you're a big politician, go for it. But, you know, if you're Gopal's manager, stick to that. But be aware that you're having an impact on people's lives, right? Because you're, you know, giving them prasad. And what do they say when they go to Gopal's? What do they say? Oh, I love the food. I go to Gopal's because it's a peaceful environment. Again, right? This is why people go to Gopal's for crossroads. Because they value the ambience. Amazing, right? So you're having a big impact on people. You may not be the state president. And may I suggest that might not be your guna and karma. If it were, I would encourage you. Right? So we stick with what we have to be practical, right? Know your limitations, work within them, and find a place in the Krishna consciousness movement where you can assist the preaching effectively, right? So I would say you're pretty well situated. Right? And, you know, hard work, but you've probably not done too bad. Professor G, he's living in a different realm and he can influence people. Right? So it depends on your position, really. What's the name of the professor? The professor. What is it?
It's professor. I didn't get it, sir.
The professor. What's your title?
I think maybe 200.
Huh?
200K salary?
No, not you. That's money you're getting. Your title. What's your title?
Your name, though.
The title of your
Actually, a distinguished professor.
Huh?
They call Redmond Barry Distinguished Professor.
Yeah. What was his name? Edmund?
Redmond Barry.
He's a Redmond Barry Professor at Melbourne University.
Yeah.
Which is quite a prestigious position. So he can travel around the world and, you know, speak on his particular topic and people go, ooh, okay, ooh, yes. Huh? They listen to him. Got a title. When it comes to cloud, fog, and edge computing, right? So, yeah. Anything else? Any other comments? Okay. Gandharva Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Guru Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Prabhupada Ki Jai.